Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. All right, now this is another one of them messages. I don't try to be controversial. I try to preach the truth. And I just read the Bible and I read and study and think and pray. And the Lord just shows things to me. And I don't think it's just me. I mean, everybody that grows in the Lord, I watch other people and some of you are growing and understanding. But I don't try to just be contradictory to everything. But everything's so messed up and has been for so long. And you know, I was thinking sitting there, there may be some preachers listening to this sometime. And you know, I think if preachers would just repent, there might be some hope. When, you know, the first things that I'm going to say here this morning are going to be deeply offensive to most preachers because they have preached this so long and it puts them in a terrible position. Because anybody, any one of you, can take the Bible and annihilate what they're preaching about sin, payment for sin, and the whole view they take of salvation and what it is. And, you know, I would to God that they would just listen to the truth. They say they believe the Bible. Won't you listen to the Bible? And if you're wrong, won't you just humbly repent and say, Lord, I've been wrong. And I'm going to preach the truth from now on. What's at stake is far too valuable, far more valuable than your pride. You know, I've had to do it through the years, realize I was wrong, and change the way I viewed, the way I preached, the way I presented salvation to people. The longer you go, the more you understand it. And you know, this morning is just, it's a profound thing. That's simple, but it's profound. And it'll change the way you see this whole thing, if you will just listen. It's just another one of those things. It's a key. It's a key to understanding this whole deal about being saved, about knowing the Lord, about having your sins forgiven, about going to heaven when you die. And so I hope you'll listen with me. Let's pray, and then I'll read these three scriptures, and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you for the service this far. I could go home right now and just be blessed. And then I think about what I've got here, and I pray you'd bless it to our hearts and help us, Father, to understand it. I pray it be received, not only by these folks sitting here, but others who might hear this. I pray they would take it to heart, that they would just let down the walls that have been built up by this false teaching that is so subtle. Oh, the devil is so subtle. And he's so successful in what he does. And Lord, we're attacking the stronghold this morning. I pray you'd help us and strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Very simple verse. For ye are bought with a price. Now that's the deal right there. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Chapter 7, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. Again, ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. You're bought with a price, for ye are bought with a price. You're bought with a price. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets who also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Right now, here's what I'm going to say to you, and this is what we'll do it right here. To most everybody, I am saying heresy right here, but I'm telling you Bible. I'm just going to say it. Jesus did not pay for your sins. He paid for you. He bought you. The price that was paid was for you, not for your sins. Now, I challenge any theologian anywhere in this world to show me in the Bible where there's one verse that says, or inclinates in any way, that he paid for your sins. That's not what he did. He atoned for your sins by giving his life in place of your life. And he bought you and me. That changes the whole view of everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Again, reading the verse before what we started at. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1, he said, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. You belong to God if you're saved. When you get saved, you belong to God. That's the transaction that takes place, is that you surrender and yield your life, your heart, your mind, your soul, your heart, your strength to God. You become His. Forget all this stuff about he paid for your sins like he bailed you out of jail. Forget that stuff. He bought you. You belong to him. Your body, soul, spirit belongs to him. He paid the ransom for you. That's what happened. And that's how we ought to look at it. And I'm just going to hammer it in for a while here with some scriptures. He died to redeem us from our sins. And his soul was an offering for our sins. It was life for life. His life for your life. The ransom that was paid was his life for your life. Not his life for your sins. His life for your life. He bought you. His life was a ransom for our sins. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It's plain as day. You just start looking in the Bible at this and it will set you back how firmly this is put forth in the Word of God from the Old Testament all the way through. This is the idea we're supposed to have. When he saved you, you became his. He ransomed you.
Yes, amen.
He didn't just bail you out of hell. He didn't just pay your penalty. Ransom means to redeem from the possession of an enemy by paying a price deemed equivalent, applied to goods or property. In Scripture, it means to redeem from the bondage of sin and from the punishment to which sinners are subjected by the divine law. The price that it's talking about was the demands of the law of God. He didn't pay the devil nothing. It ain't no price. He paid the devil. The price was the demands of the righteous law of God. He fulfilled the law by giving his life for your life and made a way for God to forgive you and still be just. Because you're a sinner and he forgave you. He can't just do that. Just whatever. There had to be a substitute. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That means he was the substitute for your sin, your sacrifice. Now, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. All right, now consider that he died for you. Not just that he died for your sins. He died for you. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, what did he purchase with that blood? You. The church, as Gary's talking about this morning. That's us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. You are a purchased possession if you belong to God this morning. If you've repented, if you believed in Jesus, and if you've trusted him and yielded your life to him. This ain't no sinner's prayer you pray. It ain't he ain't a bail bondman that bailed you out of jail. He bought you. You're a purchased possession. That means he owns you lock, stock, and barrel. He has the title deed to you. You, your body, your soul, your spirit, everything about you belongs to him. He bought it. He paid the ransom. You were under the control of someone else. The devil was able to take you in his snare at his will. And Jesus ransomed you out. He set you free. Made you free. So why? So you could just wander around doing as you please? So that you can continue in sin that grace may abound? No, so you could be his. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're waiting for the redemption of the purchased possession. Matthew chapter 13, verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. He redeemed us from our sins and iniquities. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Somebody kidnaps somebody. These outlaws have kidnapped somebody they think's got money, and they'll demand ransom. Well, when they pay the ransom, what are they wanting? Well, I mean, what's the goal here? What's the whole purpose of paying that ransom? To get them back. To get their loved one back with them. Why do you think the Bible talks about returning unto the Lord? The whole reason Jesus died was to have you back to himself. Not just to get you out of jail so you could get on another tear. Continue in sin? What in the world? Where does theology come from? Where did all this religion come from? That understands it that way. When the Bible's so full of the opposite. So what did Jesus Christ get out of all this great sacrifice he made? What did he get out of it? Did he just pay our bail? Or does he have any rightful claims in this matter? Do you think he has any rightful claims? Seeing that he suffered and died on the cross? Yes, sir. Think he's got any rightful claims in this matter? Why would he just pay for our sins and then leave us to our own devices again? Why would he bail us out just to leave us to continue in sin, the same sin that cost such a great price? What is that? What good would that do? Why would he make such a sacrifice if that's all it's going to do is just get us out of trouble today and then tomorrow we're back, same old thing? That's nonsense. We're talking about God Almighty here. We're talking about his plan from the foundation of the world. We're talking about God redeeming sinners and fixing this whole thing, redeeming the whole universe and solving this sin problem that's wrecked everything. We're not talking about just a Band-Aid. We're not talking about just a payment. Because in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 3, for thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught. And ye shall be redeemed without money. It ain't money. We use the word price, but it's not sufficient. It doesn't convey the right message here.
Deuteronomy. Why would he pay our bail just so we can continue to live in the world and love the world instead of him and live in the lust and pleasures of the present world? Nope. Deuteronomy 32 verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Does he have any claim in this? Does he have any rights? Does he have any rightful claim because of what he's done? The Lord's portion is his people. Yes, he does. You're his purchased possession. You belong to him. Does that set you back? Does that make you feel like you're not your own? What is the theme of today? Why all this abortion? Why all this evil and wickedness and sodomy and everything else and all this immorality? Because this is my body. No, it's not. Where'd that come from? Church? Right out of the churches and their false doctrine. And they're loosely handling the Word of God. And the gospel message that's the power of God unto salvation, treating it like a light thing and watering it down, not presenting it like it is. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Now he's talking about Israel. I ain't stupid. I know that. But the Bible talks about a Jew's not one that's just because you're the seed of Abraham. It's all about believing on Christ. We are the seed of Abraham. Yes, we are, through Christ. That counts for us too. Don't tell me that's Old Testament. Don't tell me that's for another people. Another time. It's the same old thing. He spread his skirt over me and I became his. Malachi 3:17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. They're mine. That's the way he looks at it. What right does he have? What claim does he have? He says, they're mine. You're mine. I bought you.
Yes.
See this world and the attitude of everybody in this present world, these precepts you're talking about of the world, Gary, that's one of them. You know, you can't buy and sell people. What are you talking about? Well, yes, he does. Yes, you do. Yes, you can. That's what it's all about. He bought me. Yes. He paid the price. He redeemed me from my sin. I belong to him.
Amen.
I have no right to myself. The only thing I got a right to do is yield everything I got to him. That he can do whatever he wants to with it. And I've got a right to trust him. That's what believing on Jesus is. Ain't nothing less than that. It ain't believing intellectually the facts that he died to pay for your sins. No, you missed it. You missed it. Misled a soul too.
Amen.
Deceived them. And unless they get under some preaching and get that squared away, that ain't going to get it. You got to understand it better than that. People that understand it that way, it ain't no wonder. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but it ain't no wonder that they live like the devil and don't live holy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. John chapter 10 verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Sounds like he has some claims, don't it? Sounds like he calls us his if we're his. John chapter 10 verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. All right, now this is a major reason why holiness has become a non-issue with most who profess to be Christians. This is the very basis of the reason why it's that way. Do you ever wonder why there used to be a moral foundation? Do you ever wonder why that in society, even because of the church and the foundation, the morality that was in the church, the holiness that was among God's people. There's always been hypocrites. There's always been tares in the church. But no, there was a time when it had more influence in our land. Yeah. I can remember it in my lifetime. Well, what's happened? Why is it now that Christians drink liquor, cuss, swap wives, live in fornication, do whatever they want, and they're just fine? They're just fine. If the church they're in fusses about it, they just go down the road and find another church. There's plenty of church. There's a church that'll take you anywhere, no matter what kind of lifestyle you're living, to the ultimate sodomites. They can find churches and they can pastor churches if they want to, because they're there for them out of love and tolerance. Well, I'd like to see how much tolerance they got for what I'm preaching this morning here. Well, it's just a major reason why that people do not live in holiness anymore, and it's a non-issue, because they think that Jesus just is their bail bondsman and that he doesn't own them. That's why there's such a fierce resistance to lordship salvation. They want to accept him as Savior, and he's their sweet little Jesus, who's just like their little genie in a bottle. And he's just like their spare tire in their car. He's always there if I need him. But if I don't, why, I'm just... They're clubbing, drinking, cussing, profane, immoral, and still going their way to heaven when they die. And you better not judge me. Is that about right? Why? Because they're not looking at this thing right. They haven't understood. You reckon somebody like that has missed the old ship of Zion? Sure they have. It sailed off without them. Yes, it did. If you don't understand that you belong to him, you believed a lie. Amen. From the very beginning.
That's right.
And any preacher that presents it without this is a deceiver and a liar. And he'll be in the hottest part of hell. You mark my words. This distorted message of the gospel, which now is universally preached, is that Jesus paid for our sins. And the logical conclusion is that if that's the way it is, then we're free to do as we please. It's paid for, man. Past, present, and future. It's like a credit card with no limits and you never have to make payments. It's just a get out of hell free card. You're clear. He took it. He did it. Jesus taking care of it. It's like going in a restaurant and eating and somebody else pays for your meal. And you say, oh, hallelujah, boy, ain't that good. And they do it every time. And that's what the Christian life's like. You just get it all free. And everything's free and nothing. There's no bad. Everything, he's just wonderful. That's the way it's painted. The gospel is perceived as though we're bailed out of jail by a generous sugar daddy who just wants to make us happy and pay for all our messes to keep us out of trouble. It's just like we've got a rich daddy who just pays for every mess we make and everything we do, and we're just free to live this life to the fullest. Have fun and enjoy life. And if we get in any trouble, he'll take care of us. And don't worry, he'll forgive everything we do. It's already forgiven, man. Jesus died and paid for your sins. Don't you see how that takes the conviction away? You don't believe people think like that, do you? Some people don't. I mean, some of you may not even think that people really think like that. Well, you are dead wrong. That's exactly how everybody's believing it, because that's exactly the way it's being preached to them, and they've believed it, and they've taken it as the precepts of their life, and that's the way they're living it, and that's why there's no holiness, and that's why there's all this immorality and this ungodly thing they call the church now. The true message of the gospel is that Jesus purchases us with his blood, and I've read you scripture after scripture after scripture stating that in no uncertain terms, straightforward. That's exactly how it was. He bought us with his blood. He bought you. He owns you. Or he don't own you. You are your own, or you are his. Now you just asked yourself that question this morning. And you search your own heart this morning. Do you really belong to him? Where's the authority in your life? Is it you? Who has the last call? Who has the final decision about what you do, what you think, your opinions, what's right and wrong? You or God? That tells the tale right there. He died for our sins in our place and set us free from sin so that we could serve Him. Titus chapter 2 verse 14. Who gave Himself for... Does it say our sins? No, it says us. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So that's the end goal. Let everyone in the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows who then. See, it's always there. It's always there that after He's bought us, then we're to be His. And we're to live for Him. And our life's about honoring Him. And our life, we become identified with Him. We wear His name. Bear not take His name in vain. By living ungodly and identifying with the world while you're calling yourself by His name. He didn't bail us out of hell and then turn us loose to continue in the sin that cost Him so great a price. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Now do you see that we, being dead to sins, dead to sins, dead to sins, not dead in sin, dead to sins. That's what happens when He bears our sins in His body on the tree. We become dead to sin. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, because He paid the ransom for you, for your soul. He bought you. He paid what was necessary to be paid according to the law. He met the demands of the law for you, that you would have to deal with if He didn't do it for you. There's no salvation without complete surrender to Christ. This deal of just easy, this easy believism stuff is, it's doctrines of devils, I'm telling you. Before we are truly saved, we maintain our right to ourselves and will not yield the reins to anybody, and including and especially God. We're our own man. I'm the boss. It's my life. It's my body. I'll do what I want. I'll decide what's right and wrong for me. I have my truth. I'll pick and choose. I'll read about all these religions and cults all over the world, and I'll just pick out what I like, and I'll make up my own religion. I've had people tell me that to my face. That's what they did. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Back to the sacrifices in the Old Testament and the Passover and all that that represented. See, you weren't redeemed. You weren't bought. Your ransom wasn't paid with vain things, with as silver and gold, corruptible things. It was bought. You were bought. You were ransomed. You were redeemed with what? The precious blood of Christ. What was that blood shed for? For you. For you. For you. So that you could be His. So that you could be returned to Him. So that you could live for Him. So that you could live with Him forever. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us
to God Amen. By thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Yes.
Wow. Let me read you just a little thing. Brother Kenny sent this to me yesterday. Let me read it to you. Let me get it up here where I can see it. This is out of a book, an old book he's got. I don't even know who wrote this. He didn't tell me, but just listen. The love of the Spirit is shown in the first visit which he pays to the soul of a sinner. When he comes to take possession of it. When the Spirit first enters the place of his future residence, he finds it in a very wretched and repulsive condition. The sinner, accustomed to his own iniquity, impurity, can form no conception of the disgust which this heavenly visitor must feel on approaching it, and is apt to wonder at the strong terms with which he describes it. No dungeon, cold and dark and filthy, no leper who from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head is covered with wounds and bruises and sores, no corpse that has lain for days in the earth is half so loathsome to the senses as such a soul is to the Holy Spirit, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Habakkuk 1:13. The Spirit finds the heart dead to all that is good, yet alive to all that is evil. The mind filled with ignorance of God and enmity to Him. The whole man as proud as poor, as obstinate as foolish, as impenitent as guilty. His first approaches are shunned, his overtures rejected, his convictions stifled, his entreaties despised. Yet he perseveres in his gracious design until he has conquered all opposition, won the soul to Jesus Christ, and formed the heart for a habitation for himself, the temple of the living God. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. So can you remember that? Can you get that? Can you put that lens in front of your glasses and always remember that? When you think about salvation, when you think about your salvation, when you think about what it means and what Jesus died for and how the whole thing is supposed to work and be understood. Can you remember this? He died for you. He bled for you. When they nailed him to the cross, it was for you. That's just a big difference. For my sins, yes, but in order to what? Did he just die for my sins so that because he felt sorry for me and he wanted me to go to heaven when I die? No. He died to redeem me to himself, to ransom me from the power of the grave. So, I belong to him. I have no rights to myself, of myself. I owe all to Him. All to Jesus. I surrender. All to Him I freely give. See? Somebody back there, that song was written a long time ago. Somebody back there understood things a little differently than all this financial transaction kind of junk we got nowadays that's going on. That's the only thing they ever hear, the only thing they ever preach, the only view they ever give. And multitudes are sitting in church this morning that are going to bust hell wide open. Thinking of it that way, believing it that way. Because it's powerless. It doesn't have the power to deliver you from sin. It doesn't have the power to change your life and break the power of sin in your life. And not only that, but they defend it fiercely and attack anybody that would say the things I've said here this morning. This is heresy to them. It's not heresy to me. Melts my heart and thrills my soul.
Amen.
Makes it so much richer
Oh, yes.
to me. Why don't it for them? You believe the truth, that's what it does for you.
Yes.
It's what happens every time I see a little deeper, understand something a little clearer like this. It just makes everything just Wonderful. More wonderful. More wonderful. It gets better and better. It sure does. All right, stand with me. I would that you would examine your own self this morning. And, you know, if you haven't given yourself to Jesus Christ this way, you need to do it. Now, there ain't no other way. Maybe you don't like the way I preach and you don't like what I say. Well, there are plenty, plenty, plenty. You can go anywhere you want to hear the sugar-coated, watered-down junk that'll make you able to just continue in your sinful, low living. But I'm telling you this, it ain't good enough to die by. And when you come to that point, you're going to realize what a fool you've been by rejecting the truth and not embracing it. You ought to just embrace it. Ain't nothing better than belonging to Jesus. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Everybody wants to talk about how much He loves you. Well, this is the man, this shows you how much He loved you. It's like when they went down to Egypt and Joseph, you know, in that transaction between his brothers while he was dealing with him before he revealed himself to him. And then later on when he did, when he revealed himself to his brothers and he was going to send them back. And Judah stood up and said, just, you know, if you send them back without Benjamin, my father's going to die. It'll kill him. So let me stay. Take me. I'll be your slave forever. You can do whatever you want to with me. Just let him go. See? That's what broke Joseph. At that point, that's when he turned around and wept. And he said, I'm your brother. Because Joseph understood what I'm telling you this morning. And when Judah did that, that was just... It ought to break your heart that way, just to realize. A sinner, that's what gets a sinner. If the gospel is preached to him that way, if he can understand that, that he died for you, he ain't here just to bail you out. He ain't here just to take care of your sin problem today. And tomorrow you're going to be back in the same boat. This is the life-changing gospel. That's what it does. That's how come the moment when I did yield my heart to God and told Him this and surrendered and give it up. That's it. I ain't fighting no more. I'm yours. That's took care of it forever. Forever! I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't lie. He told the truth about that. He don't ever leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth. Oh, praise the Lord for the truth. I thank you for revealing these things to us. Please help, Lord, that it might be a help to somebody else, that some soul might understand through this and realize what you did for them. How this all works, and that they might come to you and be yours. Bless their hearts. Pray you'd work in hearts from this point on in Jesus' name. Amen.